The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Mayfield going to bootleg it out. Near side looking. He's going to go long and deep. Beckham's out there. He's got it! In the end zone. Touchdown! OBJ! Wow! 43 yards. And Beckham does what Beckham does.
Last night was pretty fun, wasn't it? Welcome to NFL Live on this Friday. Week two of the NFL season underway after we did see Baker Mayfield and the Browns get their first win of 2020. More on that game in moments. Our guys here tell you if they trust Cleveland to keep up that performance. Speaking of those guys, it's Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark. Field Yates will join us later, but as you can tell, there's a whole lot of LSU in the building. I don't know what I'm going to do about that for this entire show. Help me, everybody. All right, let's get right to it. We're just 2 days away from a loaded Sunday slate that features some highly anticipated matchups. You see them there, including Giants, Bears, Rams, Eagles, Ravens, Texans, and Seahawks, Patriots. So, Marcus, give me your bold prediction for the weekend.
Els, yeah, my bold prediction. Zeke Elliott, 150 rushing, 3 touchdowns. Look, Dallas is going to have to take the ball out of the hands of Matt Ryan and this high-powered offense. They can give you a lot of problems. You know how you do that? You feed Zeke.
Well, listen, for me, it's going to be the real running back or the top running back in NFC East, and that's Saquon Barkley. Last week, under a yard per rush, people are talking about it might be better to trade Saquon. He's going to go for over 200 yards total offense against the Bears and rush for over 125. Saquon strikes back.
Hey, Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow were great last night. Baker especially, a man on a mission. He started hot. He didn't slow down. Maybe most encouraging, you see it right there. Thriving off of rollout opportunities out of Stefanski's play-action heavy attack. Joe Burrow, good too. Baker and Burrow on winning and losing, respectively.
I think that's going to build confidence for us and us playing complementary football with the defense. That's the scary part is if we start clicking and keep getting better, it is going to be a fun ride.
Losing isn't very fun. This might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost 2 games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know the guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. Losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get it fixed.
Yeah, Burrow hasn't lost in a really long time. He did set the record for most completions by a rookie in a game in NFL history. I should say hasn't lost before his pro career in a long time. He had 37 completions. On the other side, Mayfield posted the highest total QBR in a game of his NFL career. It was also the highest rating by a Browns quarterback since the metric was first tracked in 2006. So I don't know if Baker Mayfield heard Marcus Spears yesterday or something, but he challenged Baker, saying yesterday if he didn't outplay Burrow that Cleveland might need to look for another quarterback. So, Marcus, what's your evaluation of what he did last night?
Ailes, I'm hard on Baker, but I got to give him credit. He did a tremendous job last night, and I thought Stefanski did a tremendous job getting Baker comfortable early, letting him know that we weren't going to give you your opportunities to take shots down the field. He operated outside of the pocket. My boy Dan Orlovsky has been telling me that that's what they need to do with him offensively. He looked comfortable. He connected with his number one receiver in Odell Beckham Jr., but he spread the ball around, hit a lot of different targets. I thought he played a tremendous game. And now you ask yourself, can they build upon that? That'll be the question going forward.
This game, to me, wasn't about Baker Mayfield. This was about Kevin Stefanski. This was the reason that he was hired. He was hired to Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, to make sure that he could play within himself and they could find ways to win. You heard Marcus mention some of the boots, getting him outside of the pocket. And Marcus was a hooper, a very good hooper at that. And Marcus knows when you have people that shoot three-pointers or guys who you think are gunslingers in basketball, you want to get them to the free throw line. You want to let them see the ball go in. You want to let them shoot some layups. And now they can move it out and make the big shot. We saw Baker dink and dunk, get outside the pocket, and then you saw the big shot up top to Odell Beckham Jr. That's what Kevin Stefanski does. That's what he did with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. He brought that to Cleveland. What I liked the most about it was this, though. He didn't let Baker Mayfield start feeling dangerous and then become a danger to his team and then say we're just going to throw it all around the field. Once they got up, once they got a lead, he made sure Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb were the focal point of this offense. He never let it get outside of there. He controlled the flow of the game with his play calls. And that's what you have to do for Baker Mayfield. Get him easy throws, throws where he can show his accuracy, show his anticipation, but not hurt the team. It was a masterful job of play calling, and I really love what I saw from the first-year head coach last night.
So obviously everybody here is very familiar with Joe Burrow, and I was following you guys last night on Twitter, and every single time he would get hit, both of you were tweeting, oh no, don't hit him anymore, and it was tough to watch at times. Burrow's performance, though, still excellent, but Marcus, it's interesting. He threw the ball 61 times. We're talking about Stefanski on the Browns side of things. Zach Taylor, the coach for the Bengals, are we being easy on him with how he's dealing with Joe Burrow? What's your thought on Burrow's performance and Zach Taylor combined?
Hell yeah, we being easy on him. Look, Joe Burrow played a well of a game. He did a tremendous job, underpoised. A lot of people had expectations for the first overall pick to come into Cincinnati and show life, show that he was the guy that could take this franchise in the right direction, and he absolutely did it. He even did it last week and didn't have the guarding numbers. 61 passes is too much for any quarterback, unless you're trying to run a race with Patrick Mahomes when they get going in Kansas City. The bottom line is this. Joe Mixon just signed a new contract. Your offensive line is not up to speed as far as protecting Joe Burrow, and he's getting hit often. You need to hand the football off. And look, I know the game goes a certain way. Cleveland scores and does that. But the bottom line is you are going to put your young franchise quarterback, who has continued to show you for 2 weeks now that he can give you an opportunity to win. Let's not forget, Cincinnati put up 30 points in this game, and A.J. Green did not have a good night playing wide receiver. So, look, hand the ball off to Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard. Let them run the football. Get Joe comfortable with some play action. Make sure you're protecting your young quarterback. Don't Andrew Luck him. And don't Deshaun Watson them early in his career, especially coupled with losing. It could go downhill real fast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Marcus Spears, you selfish, selfish tiger. Oh, let's protect Joe. Let's make sure Joe is safe. We love Joe. He's our favorite tiger ever. He won the Heisman. Nobody had done it since Billy Cannon. Wah, wah, wah. Here's the thing. Zach Taylor can protect Joe. He can protect Joe Burrow if he wants, and he'll be protecting him for the next head coach. Because what Zach Taylor has to do is balance protecting his young franchise quarterback and keeping his job, figuring out how to make sure Joe Burrow is okay and how to make sure my family is okay and we don't have to sell our house in Cincinnati because I am no longer the coach of this team. They didn't throw it 61 times last week against the Chargers. They threw it because they were behind. They threw it because they were trying to catch up. They threw it because Zach Taylor was trying to win the game. And you know what he has? He has a quarterback who's, yes, competitive, who's talented, who's poised, but Joe Burrow has one trait that may not sound good to you or to other people, but it sounds great to me. He has a beautiful ignorance. And that ignorance is he don't know the history of the Cincinnati Bengals. He don't know that they always terrible. He don't know that they always, you heard that boy say, he said, me, Zach Taylor, the organization, this is not okay. No, losing has been okay to the Cincinnati Bengals. It's been all right. But it's not all right to Joe Burrow.
RC.
So if you ask Joe Burrow, do I want to, what? If you ask Joe Burrow if I want to be protected or if I want to be a stinking winner, Joe Burrow is going to pick stinking winner all the time. When that boy from UCF flipped him in the bowl game, and then he went crazy, and then he came back, must have been still had his head ringing from that, and went crazy again. That's why we love Joe Burrow.
You gonna let me talk?
Don't protect it now, Marcus.
No, listen, we're gonna come back to this.
I'm taking Mina time.
Yeah, you are, and we're gonna come back to this, and I'm gonna let you talk. But we do have breaking news right now on NFL Live that we want to get to. This just coming in: George Kittle ruled out. This, according to Adam Schefter. The 49ers tight end ruled out for Sunday's game against the Jets. Guys, Marcus, we were texting when Kittle got that knee injury last week, and you and I were like, oh, man, that didn't look very good. It kind of looked like he was going to try to tough through it. What's your reaction to seeing this and also taking in consideration that it is the Jets?
Well, thank goodness it's the New York Jets they playing against this weekend, and it's not a divisional game. But the bottom line is, Kyle Shanahan, as good as he's been, he's going to have to continue to be a genius. Jimmy G is going to have to step his game up. Now, I'm sure they're going to try to rely on the run game, and Kittle is a big part of that as an inline blocking tight end. But you have to get creative. Or you say to yourself, okay, Jimmy G, I know we are down some wide receivers. I know Kittle is out. You have to now go earn this $100-some-odd million that's been paid to you and carry us for a week or however long it takes until we can get our horses back. So I'll be interested to see how this game is called by Shanahan with the mind of Jimmy G trying to make plays without his binky, his security blanket, his way to look every time something is breaking down. They're going to run the football because that's what they like to do. But Jimmy G is going to have to make some individual plays as a high-level quarterback, and I expect to see it happen against the Jets, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this game, without having George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk goes down in training camp, your first-round pick. Deebo Samuels obviously has an injury as well. And so it's been very tough for the San Francisco 49ers to find weapons outside. But there's the guy I want to mention named Jordan Reed. He's one of the more talented tight ends I've ever played with or ever been around. He was a guy, he kind of got his feet wet last week. I believe he needs to be used more in the passing game for the San Francisco 49ers. And obviously, everything will start with the backs and also using the backs out of the backfield. But this is going to be a game where you have to rely on your defense and hope that Adam Gase can't outcoach Kyle Shanahan. And I'm pretty sure if the GM, John Lynch, had a choice, he'd pick Kyle Shanahan, and this is going to be about Kyle Shanahan putting this offense in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, RC, considering the concussion
history.
You're
damn right he would.
Yeah, exactly. Considering the concussion history for Jordan Reed, it would be good to see him shine on a big stage. And also, I'm going to start keeping track of how many weeks we say Jimmy G's got to put it on his shoulders and win the game. We're just getting rolling on NFL Live today. The Patriots will face their first big test of the Cam Newton era in week two as they travel to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Find out why the player to watch in this one actually isn't a quarterback. And Carson Wentz is getting some weapons back for week two, but he's got to deal with Aaron Donald and the Rams defense. At least one person here is predicting an 0-2 start for Philly. We'll get into that next, and we'll find out who's doing that. Dan Orlovsky's not here today, so we can say whatever we want about the Eagles, right, guys?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Week 2 Monday Night Football matchup is the first NFL game in Las Vegas, the Raiders' home opener against the Saints. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app with expanded megacast coverage on ESPN2. It all starts with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. NFL insider Field Yates joining the conversation now. Field, you have some injury updates we need to know about right now, starting with Michael Thomas and the Saints in that Monday Night Football matchup.
I was going to say, Laura, you still all need to watch Monday Night Football. I just don't think you're going to see Michael Thomas out there on the field. Today, the Saints' second practice of the week, because they're playing on Monday night. He was, again, a non-participant. While he may want to play, the Saints have the global view in mind of this season. They need Michael Thomas not just in week 2, but in potentially week 20, which would be the Super Bowl week of the season for them. So don't expect to see Michael Thomas out there on Monday night. You guys just talked about the breaking news out of San Francisco, which is that George Kittle, their best player, is not going to play against the Jets on Sunday because of a knee sprain. A bit of context, though. While Kittle will not travel to New Jersey this week, he will meet the team next week in West Virginia. They're going to train at the Greenbrier because they play the Giants in week 3. So we do expect Kittle to travel with the team next week. And then finally, another week, another Bucs wide receiver injury. Chris Godwin is now doubtful to play on Sunday against the Panthers. He entered the concussion protocol on Wednesday. He did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. He did return to practice on a limited basis today, but as we know, Laura, these concussion recoveries are non-linear. Do not expect to see Chris Godwin on Sunday, although it may not matter for Tom Brady because that secondary in Carolina is incredibly inexperienced. Should be a bounce back day for Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Yeah, good to see that Mike Evans feeling closer to 100%. Field Yates with us throughout the show today. And a couple of guys who are getting healthy for the Eagles just in time for week 2 against the Rams. Running back Miles Sanders and offensive tackle Lane Johnson. Johnson's still been limited, though, due to his ankle injury, but expects to play at less than 100%. Miles Sanders full go after his hamstring bothered him last week. Will that help offensively be enough for Carson Wentz to look like the dude we saw in the first half against Washington week 1? And hey, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were the top 2 draft picks in 2016. Both have found plenty of success since entering the league. Wentz holding a higher QBR and better touchdown to interception ratio. Also, though, been plagued by those injuries through his first 4 seasons, sacked 30 more times than Jared Goff. The two will meet again for the second time in their careers on Sunday. So let's see how we're picking this one. Both Marcus and Ryan on the Rams in this one, which would drop the Eagles to 0-2. Ryan, we start with you on this. How much pressure is on Carson Wentz this week?
I think there's a ton of pressure on Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz went out against the Washington football team and wanted to be Superman again, wanted to be that guy that willed the Philadelphia Eagles to the playoffs last year with backups, but he did too much. He took too many sacks. He threw too many interceptions, and he actually lost this game for his team. I believe that if they don't win this week, if he doesn't play well, if the reason that the Eagles lose is because of Carson Wentz, that organization, that coaching staff, and some of those players in the locker room will lose faith in him. Remember, their Super Bowl isn't because of Carson Wentz. It's because of Nick Foles. He still has things to prove there. And last week was not a good start to the 2020 season.
Hold up. Dan Orlovsky just called me and said,
no.
What the hell is Ryan Clark talking about? Man. Hey, listen. I'm going to stay out of the middle of y'all because I know what's coming in a few days. Look, here's the bottom line, and RC is right to a point. And I talked about it, Els. Carson Wentz cannot continue to have these peaks and valleys. There needs to be a leveling off of consistency at a high level in which he plays. This team depends on him, especially with an offensive line that's been hampered by injury. You get Lane Johnson back, like you mentioned, but you play Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers and a defense that plays a tremendous amount of press man with we saw what they did to the Cowboys. Jalen Ramsey coming to mind. Look, you cannot be careless with the football. You cannot get comfortable like Carson Wentz did in the second half against Washington football team. You have to be the guy that's been paid over $100 million to make sure that in these moments you can lift your team above things that you may be lacking. This is a tremendous opportunity for Carson Wentz as well as a nerve-wracking one. Because like Brian said, you go down 0-2 at the beginning of this season and you play like you played last week against Washington football team, it'll be a lot of talking going on about Carson Wentz and who he really is.
Yeah, Marcus, to your point, the Rams defense recorded 15 pressures against Dallas week one. We're probably going to see a really active Aaron Donald in this one. Hey, Cam Newton and Russell Wilson may be the names on the marquee Sunday night, but we'll tell you why the real matchup to look out for in that game will be Cam Newton versus Jamal Adams. And today, we're looking back on some fun Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark moments, starting with Marcus's first NFL Live ever. Take a look.
This is not Plug Your Friends Day on your first day NFL Live.
Can you say hell yeah on this show?
Have you forgotten what it feels like to be hit?
No.
Okay, him neither.
I want to take a stand on these dang on quarterbacks. I don't know what he thinking. He don't know what I'm thinking.
Jamie Lannister got his hand cut off and was thrust back into the fight in Game of Thrones.
He had no choice.
And he was good.
He had no choice. He had to save Cersei.
Marcus, you look nervous.
Did I look nervous?
A little bit. Just like less nervous than today.
RC.
Back with you on NFL Live, some breaking news from Adam Schefter a little earlier on in the show. George Kittle officially ruled out for the 49ers contest against the Jets this weekend. He's dealing with that knee injury and did not practice due to that. It's really starting to pack up these injuries for the 49ers. Deebo Samuel is out, Richard Sherman out, Brandon Ayuk. There's so many that they're dealing with, and Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark here with you. Marcus, when you start to think about the 49ers, especially in that division, they're already dealing with a week one loss to the Cardinals that look like they're skyrocketing. The Rams have looked really good. How concerned are you getting about the 49ers overall in their quest to get back to the Super Bowl with all these injuries early on?
Els, I'm very concerned. And listen, this, for as much as we talk about strategizing, coaching, and making sure guys are in a position to be successful, you still need the damn players to do it. And we get to a point now with San Francisco as far as their skill positions are becoming depleted. And we're trying to, not only are we trying to replace guys, we're trying to replace the majority of your production when it comes to guys that made plays on the outside. Think about what Deebo Samuel meant to this offense last year. In the reverse game, getting the ball handed off to him, making plays down the field. Now we got Kittle, who's injured, who we know is the heart and soul of what they want to do offensively. You look at the run game and you hold out hope that between this offensive line and newly acquired tackle Trent Williams and Morstead and those guys in the backfield, that they can manage to keep this thing fairly strong until they can get some of their playmakers back. But this is not a good situation, especially for what you just mentioned about their division being tougher this year.
Hey, RC, it just puts more and more pressure on Jimmy G to make something happen, especially with so many skill guys. And like Marcus called him earlier, George Kittle, his binky, out offensively.
Yeah. No, Marcus is making excellent points also about what Deebo Samuel brought to this team, even away from the pass game. And think about Jimmy G, guys. If you go back to the Super Bowl, he has a streaking Emmanuel Sanders, who, by the way, they also had to replace because he's now in New Orleans, and he misses him over the top. They don't win that game. Come back to week one. You have Kendrick Bourne on a double move. You miss him because you're short and you're late. Patrick Peterson breaks it up. And then on fourth down, you have a quick out that you're late to and you're behind and it's broken up by Byron Murphy, and that's why you lose the game, because you couldn't make the plays in the end. We've been waiting for Jimmy G to step up and be the reason this team won, not just the quarterback that's holding a place while they win. And here is his opportunity. But look at the outside. No Deebo Samuel, no Brandon Ayuk, no George Kittle. And I know they played without Kittle last year, but this is going to be one of Kyle Shanahan's best coaching job if he can continue to keep this offense productive. And we watched the Jets last year just come out of nowhere and beat the Dallas Cowboys. The San Francisco 49ers don't want to be the 2020 version of what the Dallas Cowboys were when they went to MetLife last year.
Yeah, you never know what those sneaky Jets can do. All right, more on this to come, but Week 2's Sunday slate features some great matchups, maybe none more exciting than the Patriots and Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. There's been a lot of chatter around this one.
I've gotten to know Coach Belichick, obviously, just through the years. I was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and we were sitting at the same table, and we spent a lot of time together there and just talked ball, talked life and everything else.
This guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think, you know, in a way, maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't really see anybody better than this player.
This game's going to be a fun matchup. You know, everybody's talking about me and Cam. I'm thinking about Coach Carroll and Coach Belichick, two of the oldest guys in the game, 69 and 68.
I want to wish Pete a belated happy birthday. Glad to see that he's just staying a little bit ahead of me there, so I don't have the distinction of being the oldest coach in the league.
So you could argue the most hype debuts on each side of the ball in week one belonged to Cam Newton and Jamal Adams. Newton ran for 75 yards and two scores. Adams was all over the field with 12 tackles and a sack. The impressive part was how they did it. The 245-pound Newton was clocked at 19 miles per hour twice. No other player in the entire league was that big and fast week one. Looks like he's really healthy. And all other quarterbacks hit those speeds at a total of four times. Nobody did it twice, not even Lamar Jackson. He'll have his hands full with Adams, though, who was a monster against the run and pass. He tied a career high in quarterback pressures and set all kinds of records for himself. Whatever, we're moving on. All right, so Marcus, when you think about this matchup between Adams and Cam Newton, what sticks out to you? What will you be watching in this one?
Yeah, Laura, this is one of those matchups where you look at a player, and Ryan played with him. He's one of Ryan's great friends, Troy Polamalu. And I remember watching Troy when we played against Pittsburgh from across when he was on defense, and the problem was, and I would hear our offensive coordinator at the time, Sean Payton, and then Jason Garrett talk about, you never know where this guy is going to be. And that's Jamal Adams, causing havoc in the backfield. He had 12 tackles, but two of those were for a loss, and also a sack. So you think about how he's going to have to not only track Cam Newton, but also speed the operation up of this RPO that New England has to use, because that's a part of what makes Cam Newton really good and his skill set. He'll be an integral part of Seattle defense playing well. But let's not forget, Bobby Wagner is still over there as well. Like, when we talk about two positions, we talk about the down safety in which Jamal Adams plays when he's hovering and creeping around the line of scrimmage, and we're talking about Bobby Wagner, who's in the middle of that defense. Both of those guys are responsible a lot of the time for getting the quarterback on the ground in RPO offense. So Cam has to be leery of where those guys are at all times. And I'm looking to see if Jamal is going to cause havoc or Cam is going to use the RPO to play off of Jamal Adams when they bring him up to rush off the edge. It'll be an interesting matchup. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, Ryan, I feel like we've said this a million times this week. You saw Cam rush the ball 15 times. Is that really sustainable each week? And how different will their offense look in your mind? And based off of what Marcus is saying, too, from the RPO standpoint, what do they do with Cam against the Seahawks?
Well, I think the big thing for Cam is now generating some offense down the football field. Where are they going to find explosive plays in the pass game, Laura? And if you look at the last game, it was about RPO. It was about zone reads and boots and trying to find Julian Edelman in second play opportunities. But mostly it was about Cam using his legs. Where are they going to – is it going to be Jacoby Myers? Is it going to be N'Keal Harry? Who is going to be able to push the ball down the field? Because the one thing we know about this Seattle Seahawks offense – with Russell Wilson is that they create explosive plays. So how will Cam Newton, Josh McDaniels, and the New England Patriots match that? And I'm with Marcus. I'm excited to see this physical matchup of Jamal Adams and this physical matchup of how he goes up against Cam Newton. But what will the coaches do? What will Josh McDaniels figure out to attack a Pete Carroll-led team and a Pete Carroll-led defense? If they don't create big plays, I don't believe that they can win this game. I just don't know where they come from in the pass game, because if you go back to last week against the Dolphins, they just weren't there.
Yeah, Ryan, when you talk about – oh, yeah, go ahead.
Let me make another point. Listen, it's time for N'Keal Harry to step up. It's time for him to become the receiver they drafted him to be. The big body guy, the 50-50 ball guy that can go up and make plays. Like, that is one particular part of this team that's being stymied and held back, is that they have not identified a legit guy on the outside that you would consider a one to make plays. he is going to have to, at some point, emerge as that guy. We know what Julian Edelman is. We know James White. We know what you can do in the backfield. We know Josh McDaniels has conjured up a lot of play calling and a lot of plays to help out even a Tom Brady who maybe lacked going downfield a tremendous amount of times during the game. N'Keal Harry, this is a challenge. It is time for you to step up and be a number one receiver. Use your big body, win one-on-ones, and give Cam Newton an outlet he can go down the field with.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry playing for Herm Edwards at Arizona State, and obviously the Patriots picking him in as their first-round pick a couple years ago. Felt like already he would have stepped up big time. Herm's always said he would, but the time is now, Marcus. I like that. Okay, Ryan, let's talk about Russell Wilson. Is this finally the year that he wins MVP?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is it. Here we go, Russell. Here we go. This is the year, right? Because you know how it happens. Everybody gets there. It's just like, you know, Pat got his and Lamar got his. Obviously, Tom has got his already. And every year we're like, oh, man, Russell Wilson's right there, but this dude had a better year. Russell Wilson's right there, but this dude has a better year. You heard what Bill Belichick says. He believes that Russell Wilson is underrated by the media and sometimes the fans. But what he didn't say was coaches and players, because everybody understands what he's done with less on that offense in Seattle. And he was amazing in week one, the way he threw the ball downfield. He basically dropped it on top of the four for DK Metcalf to score, even using his legs outside of the pocket. It's amazing what he's done throughout his career, but I believe that last week was the best I'd ever seen him, and I'll look for that to continue against a very good New England Patriots defense.
Yeah, I cannot believe that no one's ever voted for Russell Wilson even to win MVP. Okay, let's quickly pick this one. Seahawks, Patriots. Marcus, who you taking?
I'm taking Seattle. Russ is on a mission. You just heard Ryan talk about his MVP season, and I think Jamal Adams makes that impact from a defensive standpoint for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm taking Seattle.
Listen, I'm right along with Marcus. I'm taking Seattle. I think it will be a fight. It will be a game. But the Seattle Seahawks are just too good. And the way this is going now, they may be your NFC West representatives in the playoffs.
So much more coming your way on NFL Live. And we're going to get to several playoff contending teams. Fell to 0-1 in week one, including the Cowboys. Could the Cowboys start the season 0-2? One person here just might be a little tiny bit nervous about Dallas. That's next on NFL Live.
Coming this week on Countdown, before Tom Brady's first home start as a Buck, how his arrival in Tampa included an accidental home invasion.
Oh my God, Tom Brady is in my freaking house right now.
Plus, how Adam Schefter got scooped by a Kansas City liquor store manager on one of the biggest off-season stories.
Holy sh**, I beat Schefter.
Start your Sunday with us, live from New York at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
14 NFL teams entering this weekend looking to avoid an 0-2 start. The Bengals were unable to do it last night. Since the NFL went to 8 divisions in 2002, only 7% of teams to start the season 0-2 have gone on to make the playoffs. This year, there will be 14 teams that make the postseason, but don't expect that to help much, as only 8% of 0-2 teams would have gone to make the playoffs had the last 17 seasons been 14-team playoff format. Now let's talk about which 0-1 teams might get their first win this weekend. Marcus, Panthers at Bucks, who you got?
It'll be Tampa Bay, Laura. Tom Brady is going to come out. Bruce Arians been calling them out all week long, but Tom Brady knows how to handle this. If anybody that you want to have under pressure of not going 0-2 as your quarterback, it's that guy. TB12 gets the W against the Carolina Panthers.
All right, how about Vikings at Colts, Ryan?
I'm going to go with the Vikings. And listen, I picked the Vikings to be the NFC North champs, and the Colts are coming off a devastating win to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But who is more embarrassed than the secondary of the Minnesota Vikings against Green Bay? I expect those young corners to play better and for this offense to be more ball control. Minnesota Vikings get a win. They do not go 0-2.
I am taking the Indy Colts.
I'm glad you put that out there. All right, listen, we get to the 0-1 Cowboys here. Who you both have winning in this one. Marcus, I got to go to you first on this, the former Cowboy. Of course, they are playing the Falcons, but what is your confidence in this Cowboys pick? Because I see it on your face. You're a little nervous about this one.
Ailes, I'm so nervous. Listen, I'm too nervous. I'm going to be honest with you. I got this game 55% Cowboys, 45% Atlanta Falcons. And this thing could turn as quick as a mug. Because you look at what the Atlanta Falcons did offensively, and if they get that thing rolling and Dallas is stagnant offensively like they were against the Rams, it could spell trouble with Julio and Calvin Ridley and Todd Gurley. I'm not going to mention all of those guys, but I'm super nervous. The Cowboys need to come out and have a strong showing offensively. But this is for me. This is the one thing for me. DeMarcus Lawrence has to step up. Alden Smith had been out of the league for, three, 4 years, and he was the best defensive player that they had up front against the Rams. Now it's time for DeMarcus Lawrence to step up and put his stamp on some of these games. He's paid that way, very capable. I love him as an edge rusher. He plays the run really stout, but he has to affect this game because Matt Ryan, in a loss, threw for 430-something-odd yards, and they can put up points in droves. So, D-Law, I'm looking for you to do your thing, bruh.
Hi, I'm Marcus, and I'm scared. I'm also scared to tell the truth and call out the people that need to be called out, like the Dallas Cowboy offense. Oh, look at us. We're going to have 3 1,000-yard receivers. Also, look at us. We have a high-paid running back who is really good. Also, look at us. Our quarterback gets 31.8, but he wanted 39, and he deserved it. Call out the offense, Marcus. Don't go on the defense and call out the one dude that's making some money. Call out this offense that was supposed to be so explosive, Marcus. Call out this offense that was going to push the ball down the field because they had receivers everywhere. And it was going to open up so much for Ezekiel Elliott. And we were going to see these fireworks and all these points because they got a former Super Bowl winning coach. The Dallas Cowboys will win, but if they don't win in explosive fashion offensively, like we saw the Seattle Seahawks do last week, we got to stop talking about this offense like we did this offseason because they are not that.
Hey, man, you better be careful when you're going in on my boys and then going to pick them. Don't be doing all of that, RC. You know I'm already nervous. We supposed to be really good friends, and you ain't going to do nothing but add stress to my weekend by saying all of those things. All right, then. Come on, Dak. Come on, Amari. Come on, CD. Feed Zeke. Zeke, put it on his stomach. Feed him so y'all can get this W. I do not feel like hearing Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky, Stephen A. Smith. Laura seems to be the only one in this damn company that has my back when the Cowboys ain't doing well. All y'all want to jump on me when it don't happen.
Hey, I'm here for you. By the way, the Cowboys haven't started 0-2 since 2010, so it just can't happen, right, Marcus? They got to get this win. All right,
come
now
on.
You're turning me into a Cowboys
come
fan.
On,
I'm actually
man.
From Atlanta, so just by the way. Anyway, another electrifying matchup this Sunday is Deshaun Watson and the Texans hosting Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Battle the young mobile quarterbacks. Who comes out on top in this one? We are picking that one next. We'll be right back on NFL Live. And today, looking back at some fun Marcus and Ryan moments, in case you're wondering where they went to college, check this out.
First of all, it's very emotional.
You see the Tigers? That's how we start the show.
That's a five-star. That's a five-star.
Professionalism was the last thing I was thinking about.
I walked out after halftime, and Ryan is orchestrating the band.
Let us have our shine. Go Tigers.
Louisiana State Gooniversity.
Gooniversity. What?
That's my brother. That's my brother.
Some breaking news came down earlier in the hour. George Kittle officially ruled out due to a knee injury in the 49ers matchup against the Jets. Brandon Ayuk, by the way, will make his debut for the season. So Jimmy G at least has him. But George Kittle, so important to that offense and to Jimmy G's comfort level. So certainly something to consider. Now, time for some smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. And for that, we welcome in Field Yates to the conversation. If you had Kittle on your fantasy team, you're probably scrambling right now, Field. So what can you do to pick up somebody on the waiver wire? What do you recommend?
Well, Laura, when you're like me and you play in far too many leagues to count and your wife sometimes questions whether you have any social life whatsoever, you have a lot of George Kittle in your life. You have to turn to other options right now, unfortunately. And I'll give you three names that I think are worth monitoring for this weekend. Chris Herndon in the New York Jets. They've got so many injuries. Someone has to catch passes. He's certainly on the radar. Also, Jimmy Graham, an old name, but a guy who actually played well in week one, found the end zone, had a good training camp. And then finally, I think the name that I'm most interested by is Jonnu Smith for the Tennessee Titans. He scored a touchdown this past Monday night, had a long gain with a run after the catch on a screen pass. Very athletic player. And with no A.J. Brown for Tennessee this weekend and Corey Davis a bit banged up, wouldn't surprise me if Jonnu Smith stays busy. But make no mistake about it, Laura, this is a reminder of why tight ends are so important in fantasy football, specifically the best that can stay healthy, like Travis Kelce and in most cases George Kittle, because when you don't have one and you go looking for other options, the pickings are slim.
Yeah, I've seen your Instagram, by the way, Field. You have a great social life. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Oh,
how about
you,
two of the more the best young quarterbacks in the league going head-to-head with the Ravens taking on the Texans, Lamar versus Deshaun. Lamar looked like an encore MVP season was possible week one. Deshaun looked like they shouldn't have traded DeAndre Hopkins. So Marcus Spears, who are you taking in this one to have the better performance? Actually, you know what? You're both taking the Ravens, so let's just go past that. I want to know, Marcus, what you think Deshaun Watson is going to do in this game.
I mean, I know Deshaun, met him a few times. I love him. And it's so disheartening. When you look around this league, Just take this walk with me right quick, people out there that's watching me and Ailes and my brother RC. Patrick Mahomes, organization, committed to people around him. Lamar Jackson, organization, put him in an offense that he could thrive in and committed to people around him. The Cleveland Browns, committed to people around Baker Mayfield to put him in a great situation, surrounding him with stars. And Bill O'Brien traded Deshaun Watson's away. And we sitting here now with a matchup of two young elite quarterbacks that should be in contention every year because their talent is far and wide. And Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are going to stomp a mud hole in the Houston Texans because Deshaun Watson does not have the people that Lamar Jackson has. And I'm going to let it go there because it feels like it should be some sad music to this thing that I'm giving right now. And I'm going to let my brother RC take over because I'm going to get worked
well,
up.
Yes, Ryan, I want you to actually talk about Lamar because let's just turn this whole thing around and get a little more positive here.
Lamar is in the anti-Deshaun Watson situation. He doesn't have Bill O'Brien as a GM. He has a GM that actually cares about his well-being, that wants him to thrive on the field. So Lamar is going to go crazy, just as we saw last year against the Texans, as we saw last week against the Cleveland Browns. He seems to be even improved from an MVP season. I can't wait to see him go out and attack this team that couldn't stop the run last week. So what are they going to do against Lamar Jackson and the running of the Baltimore Ravens?
Time for one more thing before we go, guys. RC, you get the first crack. One more thing.
My one more thing is, what is Drew Brees going to be this week? He didn't look sharp to me last week. He didn't look sharp down the stretch of the season last season. They had snaps. They had series where Alvin Kamara took a snap from center. Taysom Hill took a snap from center. That doesn't happen in Drew Brees' career. Can he rebound without Michael Thomas or with a banged-up Michael Thomas? What does this passing game look like, and will they win in Las Vegas? That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Now, damn it, Cincinnati, you just heard me talk about Deshaun Watson and his situation in Houston. You better find people to protect Joe Burrow. You better make sure that you build this organization and franchise around a franchise quarterback that can pull you up out of the places that you've been. Andy Dalton did a good job, but it wasn't enough. Joe Burrow, number 9, the quarterback that y'all took first overall, is good enough and is going to trend to be good enough to put you in playoff contention. Don't mess it up, Cincinnati, because other people have.
Real quick, RC, game you're most excited to see this weekend?
Patriots, Seahawks.
Okay, we'll see you next week on NFL Live. Bye.